Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Back in 1978, the bodies of two British backpackers were found in the sea off the Guatemala coast in Central America. It was obvious to everyone that Chris Farmer and Peter Frampton had been murdered, but for nearly 40 years, nobody was arrested over their killings. The prime suspect was Silas Duane Boston, an American expat with a criminal past sailing around the Caribbean with his two young sons. He'd given the couple a ride on his boat called the Justin B just before they died. But it wasn't until 2016 that Boston was finally arrested and charged with their murders, only for him to die in prison a few months later before he could be tried. In Paradise, presenter Stephen Nolan and reporter Dan Maudsley tried to get to the truth of who killed Chris and Peter. Was the case against Boston as clear-cut as it seemed? And could the evidence of his two sons, Vince and Russ, be relied upon?
Peter and Chris had boarded the Justin B around the 10th of June, and this section of her letter to her mum was written on the 29th of June. So they've now been on board the boat for 2.5 weeks, and Peter's enthusiasm is wearing thin.
Another reason I wouldn't mind ending my sailing career now, and I'm down as a sailor on the papers, is the two sons of Duane. They are 12 and 13 years, but behave more like 8 and 9, and I find I have no patience at all with them. Of course, they squabble most of the time, and now I see how irritating we must have been in that respect. But on a boat, there's nowhere you can go. What makes it worse is that Duane curses and puts them down continually.
There was a lot of squabbles. You know, my dad drinking Jamaican rum, and we concocted this drink that he really liked with Jamaican rum and some fresh limes and I forget what else we put in it, some coconut, I think. And he called it, he named it after the boat, the Justin B drink. He would drink these Justin B's, and anytime he would drink alcohol, he would become a total asshole, very mean.
To so, you and your brother?
To anybody. He would always start fights with whoever. But yeah, to me and my brother, yell and scream at us at, like I didn't know how to tie a bowline. Like, how am I supposed to know how to tie knots? I didn't, you know, I'm not a military person or a Navy person.
You're a child.
I'm a child. And I had a book about the Boy Scouts, but I wasn't a Boy Scout. But it wasn't like, here's how to tie a bowline. And now you do it. It's like he would scream at me that I didn't know it. Or he'd scream at Russ that he, if he was hungry, he would yell at my brother Russ and say, make some f***ing rice. And we'd call him Rice instead of Russ. Make some rice, Rice. And scream at him until he was crying.
No wonder then that Peter's thoughts are turning to home.
It's nearly July already. It must be getting quite warm in England. I hope you've been swimming. Did I hear that there's going to be a general election? I haven't seen a newspaper for weeks, and the BBC World News doesn't give much about the UK.
At 7 o'clock we have a relay of the world news from the BBC in London, providing reception conditions are favourable. And then we're going to have the weather report, then we have the children's programme.
I often wonder what everyone's doing, and I feel very cut off, but letters are too difficult as I never know where I'm going to be next.
There are no more entries in Peter's letter past the 29th of June, which is why the FBI give the time frame for Chris and Peter's murders as being between the 29th of June and the 8th of July, when the bodies are found. But we can probably narrow things down a bit further than that, as we think that they left Hunting Key alive on the 1st of July. Now, By this stage, Peter had already decided that Costa Rica was a sail too fast, so she planned to leave the boat along with Chris at their next port of call, Puerto Cortes in Honduras. On paper, this is quite a short sail south, but while on Hunting Key, they received some fateful advice.
Talking to the lighthouse keeper, this is the worst time for sailing, and our next sail to Puerto Cortes in Honduras would be very hard, so it seems. We may easily decide to go to Livingston in Guatemala instead, which is a simple sail with a wind behind us. If we do, I shall leave the Justin B and get a ferry to Puerto Cortes and a plane from Honduras to New Orleans.
So as I've mentioned, we haven't interviewed Vince's brother, Russell, but he is quoted in Penny's book about her brother Chris and Peter's murders called Dead in the Water. Now, the book came out right in the middle of our research for this podcast and has helped fill in many of the gaps in Vince's memory. Now, what Russell is quoted as saying in the book is that it's this decision to switch route which causes a row that sets their journey on a fatal course. Russell's account in the book is that Chris and Peter had agreed to pay $500 to his dad for passage to Honduras. But now Boston's sailing them to Livingston in Guatemala, a country they don't have visas to enter and is 50 miles west, as the crow flies, of where they want to be. Naturally, Chris wants to renegotiate the fee, but Boston is adamant they still owe the full $500. And now he's getting more and more inebriated.
We were anchored out and there was a port nearby. Kind of shallow, very shallow water, but it's very clear. And it was a beautiful, nice day. And, you know, aside from all the screaming from my dad, and he was yelling at Russ, and I guess Peter and Chris, especially Chris, had enough of it. And he said, "Hey, stop. That's enough. Leave him alone." And that's one thing that my dad did not tolerate, is I can be a total asshole to my children. I can do anything I want with them. But if you tell me that I'm not being a good parent, then I'm going to come after you. And so he told him, "Don't you f***ing tell me how to raise my children." He's like, "F*** you." And he comes after Chris and tries to swing at him and hit him. And Chris ducked out of the way and he missed and fell into the water. You know, I mean, we were jumping into the water all the time, so it was no big deal. We lived in the water, basically, scuba diving, spear fishing and stuff, you know. But I think it was just, he was humiliated. Yeah. And then so Peter and Chris were laughing at him and said, "Maybe that'll cool you off, you know."
That's so your father's in the water, humiliated, drunk.
Yes.
And angry.
That's when everything changed. That's when he started plotting. He became very quiet. Well, we knew when he was quiet like that, that it wasn't a good thing.
What happened?
After that, you know, he sobered up and we carried on. And I guess in their eyes, things were okay. It was normal as usual. And but he called Russ and I together and said, "We've got to get rid of these people." And I didn't know what he meant. He said, "I want you guys to hide all the knives in the galley. No knives, no sharp objects." I'm like, "This is kind of weird. What's going on? This is weird." But you do not argue with my dad. You just kind of do what you're told.
You and Russ are together. Your father says, "We need to get rid of these people." What's in your head?
I thought he was going to drop them off at a port or something. So he was humiliated and he just had enough. I didn't really think that much of it.
Hide the knives? What was that about?
I didn't know. I had no idea what's... That was weird.
And did you and Russ hide them?
I hid one or two of them. We didn't have that many. And I remember that Pita said, "Where's all the cutlery?" She wanted to cut a fish or something. And I'm like, "What's cutlery? I don't know what that word is. We don't really use that word a lot in the United States. At least we didn't." And she said, "The knives, where's the knives?" And we just had to play dumb. But he obviously was planning ahead that he didn't want these knives available. So he had a book on poisonous plants around the world, and we were pulling into this port, and he said, "Hey, I want you and Russ to find these certain kinds of bean pods, these kind of red and black berries or beans or something, and they grow in this area. And apparently they were poisonous." And we're like, "Why?" Well, we told him we couldn't find any, so he's thinking of poisoning them, apparently. And we told him, "Sorry, we didn't see any."
And did you deliberately not find any because you knew?
We actually found some, but we told him we didn't.
Because you knew what he was wanting to do.
I've done some research, and these beans are like very extremely poisonous.
So you were trying to save Chris and Peter from the monster who is your father?
We lied to him and told him we couldn't find him.
Some of episode 2 of Paradise from BBC Radio 5 Live, called Death in Paradise, hosted and produced by Dan Maudsley and Stephen Nolan. And thanks to Dan and to Susan McKean for letting me share that with you. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast hour from RNZ. If you're enjoying the show and it's helping you find new stuff to listen to, then please tell other people about us. Maybe mention it to a friend or a family member. And do please rate and review us on Apple or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcast from. Not only does this help other people find us, but it also lets me know if I'm on the right track with the number of clips. Do you want some fewer stories, longer interviews? Just let me know about it. And I'm also really interested in finding out how people want me to podcast and publish stuff online. At the moment, I release the whole show in one chunk and also in shorter slices of individual shows too. But if this is just a pain and it's easier to just get everything in one program, you don't have to fiddle around with and curate, just say the word and it shall be done. Thank you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.